Amen. You know, and I thank him that he's more than enough. You know why? Because I need more than enough. In the days that we're in, you know, days that I've heard many people say we'd never see, we're in them. We're watching the world come together as one to try to dethrone what God has done. God is being kicked out of churches. Churches, ladies and gentlemen, you can't talk about the blood. You can't talk about... People are so offended. This is Facebook church now. It's Facebook church. If you've ever... On Facebook, they censor everything that comes across. If the word war is mentioned, it's bleeped. Death. Drugs. The word crap. And yet, all the other garbage they allow on there. Folks, don't think for one minute God has left us. This is where we dig in personally in our faith. Your faith has always been a personal thing. Your faith is not my faith. You need to dig in and you need to know that you know. Every last one of us has to get to that point that we know that we know that God is king. Not Obama, not Biden, not Trump, not DeSantis. Don't care who you're voting for. It's your right. I served for it. But I need you to understand God is more than enough. Got a couple real quick announcements. Today is Building Fund Offering Day. Thank you for giving as the Lord leads. We have some more projects we're working on here. Also, this Friday, 6:16, Bible Study Fellowship here at the church at 7 p.m. For more information, see Rob or Katie Peters. Next Sunday, 6:18, is Father's Day. If your father doesn't have a home church, please invite him into joining us in honoring him along with our amazing At His Feet dads. Also, baby bottles for Heartbeat are due next week as well. If you still have some more change, there are still more bottles. And mark your calendars for Sunday, August 13th, for the At His Feet Christian Center annual baptism and picnic. There's more details to come on that. So, let's see, I'm introducing, do an offering first. Okay, I'm going to deal with the offering then. All right, let's bless the tithe and offering. Our Heavenly Father and Lord God, I thank you and I praise you. Lord, we thank you for the rain that I hear. As your word says, I hear the abundance of the sound of rain. The sound of the abundance of rain. I'll get it right. Father, I thank you that it's going to water the crops. It's going to water the earth. No damage. Father, the earth will soak it in. And now, Lord, we honor you today with our tithes and our offerings. Lord God, just as we bless you for blessing us with the rain, we bless you today with our first fruits. Lord, I call your word is true. I stand here as testament to that. You have never failed me. So, Lord, I present this to you today, blessed and separate, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and those super kids are dismissed. And I'll announce you in a second. Yes, we are a little thin on the seat. So you pick, if you always wanted to try a new seat, today's a great day to do that. Praise God. But I promise you this, next week the congregation grows by one. So, all right. So this morning, the reason why I'm acting like I don't know what I'm doing and timing is... Because we have somebody who's going to come and share something that's happening in the county with our schools. And so I'm just going to introduce Christina Butterfield from LifeWise to come up and tell us what is going on. I have no idea whose mic I'm about to grab. I don't know. Where's it at? brown. I'm colorblind, so he'll figure it out. He's good. It was on.
Yes,
75% chance. And y'all see why I don't play the lottery.
Hello.
Okay. All right. Hello, everyone. My name's Christina Butterfield, and I am on the board of LifeWise Academy for Mount Gilead. I just wanted to talk to you guys and let you guys know about what we're doing amongst our county. How many of you guys have heard about LifeWise? A couple. It's actually like a really cool program. It's a release time education, which means during public school hours, we can take the kids during school off campus to another location and teach them the Bible, which is really awesome because, you know, there's like 8 and 10 kids who don't attend a church. And so this way, like, we're going to reach the churchless kids among the kids who, you know, already know God. But it's just a really cool program and a way to, like, reach these children who need God and need to learn his truth. And so this has actually been legal for a long time. Gosh, I think it's been, it was a Supreme Court ruling in 1952 that allowed this release time education program to happen, and nobody was doing it up until 3 years ago. So it just bloomed and started. LifeWise Academy started up. Oh my gosh, I can't remember where it started. But it started up in Van Wert. That's where it started, Van Wert. And now, just in the 3 years, it's just growing like wildfire. I think last year we had about 130 schools, and this year we're starting with 255. Awesome. So it's just, it's growing, and it's huge because these kids, you know, want Jesus and want to learn him because that's how we're made. That's what we're, you know, we're born for him. And so they're yearning for him. And so this program is just really awesome because it allows us to come in and, you know, during school hours, take these kids who, instead of like an after-school program where they may not have a ride to it, and a lot of them don't attend church, so this way, you know, they're right there in school, and they just get taken out, and they learn Bible education. And then I have some stuff to hand out if you guys are interested in learning more. We do need volunteers like crazy. So if you feel led to volunteer in any sort of way, pray for us, teach. We're only doing 3 days a week for an hour, so it's really short. So just pray for us, and if you feel led, come talk to me and I can tell you more about it. I'm going to play you a quick video so I don't take up too much time here. And yeah, that's all I got.
So we got the flyer in the mail, and I'd never heard of, like, a Bible-based program. And I just felt like it cannot hurt.
Christian was brand new to even the word Bible. Christian was very interested in where church was and what it was.
So Christian didn't grow up in church, but he's kind of always had this hunger. He was in LifeWise, and he was coming home and telling me stories, so excited about it. It's his favorite part of the day, and he's like, I want to go to church. And I'm like, oh, okay. And Mrs. Romer reached out to me and was like, hey, I just wanted to invite you and your family to church. This was around like September of 2021. And we went, and we loved it, and so now we're regularly attending that church.
Sure enough, they end up coming to our church, and God's doing some really cool things in their family, but then also their son Christian, he's having a big impact. I talked all about Jesus and how he paid the price for our sins, and now we can, our relationship with God is restored because of his death on the cross. So, and that was kind of how I ended it. Well, I walk away, and this boy named Christian brings over a small group leader, and he wants to talk with me. He comes up to me, and he's like, Mr. Mark, I heard what you talked about, and I just want to make sure you know that Jesus rose again. Did you know that? Like, 3 days later, he rose, and he's alive. And I said, Christian, I was like, yes, I did know that. And I'm so excited that you know that.
I mean, really, it's changed the life of our whole family. We're going to church every Sunday. You know, Christian gave his life to God in his last day of LifeWise.
He needed somebody to pay for our sins, so he God let him live a long life, and then he had to die because he had to pay. Somebody had to die for our sins.
You know, to think if I hadn't signed him up, I don't even know what our lives would look like. And like our story, it might not just be, you know, 20 minutes in a classroom. It might lead somebody to a church and change a whole household.
Okay. So if you have any questions, I'm going to ask Christina to hang out in the back after the service. You can get a flyer. You can talk to, I think we've got, what, we have 6 teachers in here? Not today, but we got 6 teachers. So, but this is going around this county. I think it's a good thing. You know, if this is something God's moving on you to help with. Just so you all know, it's not always the preacher's job to sit down with people and teach them the Bible. So y'all can do it too. As a matter of fact, I used to teach my brothers and sisters. And I remember one time my brother went to Sunday school, and he informed the Sunday school teacher he knew more about that than she did. And the sad part was he did. She didn't take it too well, but anyhow. If you would need more information, like more information, you can talk to her afterwards. All right, so this morning, give my Bible her sword, my wife her sword. I was alluding to last week that the Lord has been kind of moving on me to talk to us about our words. Our words have a huge impact in this world. And the older I get, the more I tend to find I'm a little freer with those words sometimes. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You're either there, or you know somebody who was like that when you were younger, and you thought, that's just an opinionated old fool. Well, we need to be watching what we're doing. The Bible is strong about our words, because our words can never come back. They go out, that's it. Doesn't matter if you didn't mean it. That word never can come back. That word hit. You throw a rock at somebody, if you got good aim, you're hitting them. You can never pull that rock back. It's going to leave a mark. It's going to leave pain. And we throw words around so frivolously, and the church is as guilty as anybody in this regard. So As I've been meditating on this message, understand, I'm not singling anybody out. If it hits you, God threw the rock, not me. Don't shoot the messenger, okay? I've had people get mad and they never come back. Why? Well, you do know I wasn't aiming at you. There's been a couple times I was aiming at somebody and it bounced off their forehead and they looked at me like, I didn't get it. But yet, it hit somebody else and they took it the wrong. They thought I was singling them out. This is for every last one of us. So the first place we're going to look in this morning is Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is talking about our hearts, okay? So he starts off saying, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Now, unless there's been some sort of perversion in tree husbandry where you take a pear and you graft it into an apple tree, that apple tree is always going to produce an apple. Good or bad is the question. Is it going to have good flavor? Is it going to have bad flavor? Is it going to be an apple that's not good for... I mean, there's some apples. I'm like, why did we even develop these? I mean, they're just, some of them are just kind of nasty. I mean, personally, why do I want to eat a grape that tastes like cotton candy? Seriously, if I want cotton candy, I'll go get cotton candy. But I want a grape. Anyhow, that's just a soapbox. Make the tree good or bad, it's known by its fruits. Okay. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our hearts are our minds. It's not this blood-pumping muscle right here. It's just 6 inches of gray matter between our ears. And whatever we're thinking on, whatever we're concentrating on, that is what comes out of our mouth. If you're having a stressful time, you need to recognize when you're under stress and put a padlock on your mouth. Because that's when we have a tendency to let things fly, isn't it? We forget our place. We are not called to be offensive. But Jesus offended, yes, the religious people. He was reaching out to those who were hurting, those who were dying, who didn't stand a chance at God. He reached out to them, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the drunkards, the homosexuals. The church has some colorful names for every one of those groups. We'll get onto that in a second. But out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. I wish these were in red right here so that you would understand this. Every idle word. Strong's has what the word idle is, empty and frivolous. That's what Webster's has as well. But the first sub-definition, not employed. Our words are supposed to do two things. First, we can bind. Jesus told Peter, he said, whatever you bind in heaven, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's the two things, our words. And it's not tearing down people. But yet that's what our words do. I'm as guilty as anybody, okay? Trust me, I have bruises all up and down my shins spiritually from this. God's like, oh, I'm like, yep, I know. I heard it. You know, every husband in here has that look on their eyes. What did you hear me say? Because we didn't hear it until it came out. And then it's like, you know, like, calm down. That ain't ever worked out for any man that I'm aware of. But these words, they're empty. They have no life in them. They don't do anything. And we're not supposed to tear down people. Nowhere does the Bible give us permission to be jerks to other people. Just because we think we can. I have a right in this country to speak my mind. No, you have the right to the freedom of speech. And you also have the right to remain silent. I can't tell you how many times I've watched these videos. And there'll be a a cop arresting somebody, and then, I know my rights. And he says, you have the right to remain silent, and I highly recommend you use that right. Use it. You don't need to keep running your mouth. And the ones I love the most are the politicians that get pulled over. Do you know who I am? I'm council member so-and-so. Oh, is that right? 2 weeks later, they are no longer council member so-and-so. Nobody is above this law. Or shouldn't be. A few people seem to be skirting it, but they will give account of it on the day of judgment. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, boy, you preached up some good messages. But here, let's talk about these words. See, idle words aren't necessarily just not doing anything, even though that's what it said. Idle words are usually hurtful. For by your words you will be justified. It means you'll be acquitted. Charges are dropped. And by your words, you will be condemned. What did you say? So many people are out giving their opinions on things. God gave me something the other morning. I hadn't even got out of bed yet. I was still laying there, and I don't remember if it was 6:30 or so, and was meditating on this. So this you're not going to find on the internet till today. Opinions are like pins in a pin cushion, where our mind is the cushion. The pin has a purpose for its existence. It can be used to hold cloth together while a tailor alters or creates a designer masterpiece. Used improperly, it can cause harm to the person who is being fitted or the person who is supposed to be masterfully using it. God expects us to use our words or our opinions carefully. He expects us to use them masterfully. So many of us say, well, I'm just an opinionated person. There's a whole other world for that word, I'm an opinionated person. We don't need to go down that road right now. But this is what people think of people. I'm just opinionated. You know, one of the worst descriptions I hear people talk about Marines. You're opinionated. Well, yeah, we are. We do think we're the best. That's all there is to it. You're never going to change our mind. But I really hope that my soldier friends and my airmen and my sailors and so forth, I hope they think they're the best. Because if you don't, you're going to lose that fight for sure. You need to know you're the best. You need to believe you're the best. But being opinionated just for opinionated sake is stupid. I've got my opinions on everything. I had my opinions on Crocs. I thought they were stupid. I got 3 pair. By the way, I wear socks with my Crocs when I want to. Why? Because they're my Crocs. And I don't like that rubber on my feet. It irritates my skin. So I wear socks with my Crocs. But I had that opinion. Let me tell you who helped me change it. Your dad. That man wore Crocs every time I saw him. I'm like, man, maybe it might have some knee problems. I don't know. Because they are not very supportive. But he always had Crocs on. I was like, okay, you know. Your dad's a bit of a free spirit. So I'm kind of like you. Then I went and saw my brother. He had Crocs. Combat vet. But his dad was the one that started the change in it. They're stupid. No, if they fit right, they're actually pretty decent shoes. No, let's get under something straight. They are not dress shoes. Neither are your pajamas supposed to be out in the store. But anyhow, again, opinion. But we change our opinions. I used to not like the kind of truck that I'm driving. I didn't like that body style. I thought it was ugly. You know what happened? I saw a truck one day and I was like, wow, that really looks good. God changed the way I saw something. He changed my opinion on it. Because I'm like, well, how long is it going to be before they change a body style to something good looking again? So our opinions on things are just that. They're our opinions. If I ask you to raise your hand on who liked what type of trucks, so many people are going to raise their hands on this. Some people go, well, I like these. I like those. You know what? And I've had people, well, you know, they're really not the same. Yeah, they are. They're all. If it gets you from point A to point B, bless God, I don't care. You drive your truck. Don't let anybody tear you down because you drive a Ford, you drive a Chevy, you drive a Dodge, you drive a Nissan, you drive a Toyota. Well, Toyotas aren't American made. Yeah, they are. They so absolutely are. They may not be American owned, but if we're going to get into that, we got a lot of changing to do in this country. But see, we form our opinions about things based on what we think, because we think we're right about everything, don't we? Come on. We do. You do. You think you're right about everything. And the hilarious part is when we think we're right about something we've now have no experience in. Well, I think you ought to do this. Good. What's your experience? What are you calling upon? Well, it's just what I think. And I'm right. No, you're not. In 22 years, I can't tell you how many times people have told me how I think they think I should be running this church. I'm sick of it. One more person tells me what they think, I'm going center. I'm going to slap you. No, I'm not. But I want to. You know why? Because you don't know what it's like. I didn't know what it's like. I remember sitting here thinking, if this were me, I would do it this way. Now I have an idea why they didn't do it that way. And here's something else. I do not promote people. I do not demote people unless God says. I do not start anything unless God leads me to. And you know what? You need to be quick listening to God. Because it was just a couple days ago, I got the request, could she come and talk? By the way, we're her first church. Woohoo! We got a lot of firsts in this we've done here at this church. But we didn't do it because, well, you know, I can't. I need to pray about this for 2 weeks. Okay, it's promoting God. It's promoting the Word of God. So, yeah, we can do this. Well, I think there needed to be a study done on that, you know. I got the Holy Spirit who says, let's go. By the way, do you know that's why I'm here? Because when the Holy Spirit says, saddle up, we saddle up. We says, whoa, take a break, we stop. We've done lots of things, haven't we? We had a vacation Bible school boot camp during spring break. I see Miss Brenda shaking her head. That was kind of rough on us. I'm not going to deny it. We did it, and it was a blessing to a lot of people in the community. But it wasn't something God told us to do every year. We've done lots of things. But our opinions are just that. It's an opinion. It's our thought. But I don't want to hear it anymore. Your opinions of other people. Oh, they can't hear me. How do you know? How do you know they didn't hear you? It's none of your stinking business. Mind your own business. Get your monkey back in your circus and you stay there. Quit worrying about what Richard and Trisha are doing. cares what Caleb and Morgan are doing? They stand accountable to God for them. I don't. You don't. As soon as we get this garbage cleared up, ladies and gentlemen, I'm promising you, you're going to see God moving in your life like you've never seen before. But you got to quit stepping back and say, well, I know better. You do not. Get the beam out of your own eye, hypocrite, before you help your brother with a speck. This goes to people on the internet too. I'm watching God try to get people straightened up, and I'm watching the devil come in. Oh, I don't care. Oh, you know, the people. Oh, my goodness. Go out and ask God to drop a boulder from a 747 on you, please. You don't know. God wants you to be with his people. This is where we get stirred up in love. You don't have to be huggy-huggy. It's just coming together. It stirs the love. You want to see a community come together? Watch them on a Friday night on the football field. They may not even like the kid that was carrying the ball. He might be a pompous jerk. I don't know. But bless God, you let the referee make a bad call, and the whole stands come unglued on him. They all unify. Miraculously, isn't it? But you see, the body of Christ is too busy trying to get rich. Too busy trying to be successful. You want to be successful? Lead one person to the Lord. Then that'll lead you to two and three. You want to be successful? Help somebody off of drugs. Help somebody who is beaten down. That's success. I don't care if you got jets. I don't care if you drive a Mercedes-Benz. They're cool cars. I saw a Ferrari 456 the other day. Followed it down 19. It turned into Candlewood. Ooh, yeah. You can buy the car for $23,000. Got me a thinking, though. I ain't gonna lie. Until I met the guy the other day who had the Corvette C8. Cooler car, in my opinion. But, it's my opinion. Let me make sure I'm not about to get ahead of myself here. Our opinions are supposed to be helping us. You don't like Ford? Don't drive a Ford. It's that simple. You don't have to tear down. You don't like John Deere tractors? Don't drive a John Deere tractor. You don't like Case? Don't drive a Case. What we're finding out nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, is so many companies own companies you never knew. I got Milwaukee Tools. And people say, well, Ryobi are garbage. You know Ryobi owns Milwaukee, right? Ryobi doesn't have trigger problems. Milwaukee does. Somebody blessed me with a battery the other day, a couple years ago. Big battery. I had to send it in on warranty. Milwaukee wants the receipt. It was a gift. So now the store's trying to figure out how to get it because it still qualifies under warranty. But Milwaukee wants to jerk me around. Guess what? I may not buy any more Milwaukee. They used to be good. They used to care about their tools. But I've come to find Ryobi are pretty good. Ridgid are pretty good. I mean, crying out loud, I've got DeWalt and they don't have trigger problems. And it's not an opinion. Ask anybody who owns Milwaukee. Who's got Milwaukee? Who's got trigger problems? Only one hand went back down. I'm using my drill. Burr, off. Point being, ladies and gentlemen, I've always liked Milwaukee. My opinion is not that they're junk. They need to address some problems. The opinion was, well, Ryobi's a lesser company. But they don't have the same torque. I'll give you that, hands down. And that, Milwaukee rocks. But anyhow, I'm digressing away from the real points. I was informed the other day that you can't talk about clutches on Mother's Day. Not a good subject. So we'll save the clutch message for Father's Day. But our opinions of people. Now let's go on to James chapter 3. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect. He is a perfect man. Mature. This word means mature. Not perfect as in what we think perfect is. Able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The fire's in Canada right now. It was a tiny fire that started. As a matter of fact, at one time, I believe it was just a match. Careless camper lit their fire, maybe didn't put it out. Maybe they were burning pine and had all those nice things that go up in the sky. Those nice little embers. I don't know really what started it. But it was just a little thing. It was just a little word. See, there might even be people in here sitting right now mad at me. Because I told you I don't care about your opinions. I really don't. You get expertise in an area, I'll listen to you. Bob ain't going to listen to my opinion on farming. He'd been farming longer than I've been alive. Richard don't care what I think about driving semis. He's been doing it most of his adult life. I'm not going to tell Rob how to put a windshield in. How many years did you do that, Rob? 17, something like that? 20-something. Yeah, do not listen to me. I know how to break windshields. I got a few under my belt on that one. But the person with the experience knows exactly what's going on. So if you're mad at me for saying that, I'm just going to say get over it. Because you need to move on. Our words have to be used wisely. By the way, I tell you that so that you take those words, because the Bible talks about speaking against the authority that God has put in place. By the way, and I'm going to get this out there for us all. Bless God. I'm hoping people get it through. Your memes on Facebook, the things you share, those are your words as well. You may say, well, I didn't write it. You didn't have to. You clicked share. That means you agree. You said amen. Nowhere in your Bible does it give you permission to call our president a bumbling fool. Nowhere. Peter said, pray. Pray for them. I know it's hard. But nowhere does it give you the right to do this. You may not agree with policies, but you need to understand something. They're not calling the shots. I haven't believed this for a long time that even businesses are calling their own shots. I'll share a little bit here real quick. We're all getting our panties in a wad. Target, which we should be, rightfully so. Target, Budweiser, Ford, Chick-fil-A. There's one other that people not really picked up on. Cracker Barrel. They don't really agree with this stuff, but they are being forced to. You know why? Because there's a power greater. It's called money. The World Bank. The powers that control the purse strings are telling them to do this. They knew doggone well going in, it's going to cost us. Target has lost $13 billion. And their stocks have been declassified. They've been reduced. They're not even heavy anymore. You know why? Who else can give these multi-billion dollar companies loans to expand? It's not Chase, not Fifth Third. It's who can give Chase and Fifth Third loans. We have opinions. First thing we should have done is keeping our own lives straight. 1952. And we're just now taking advantage of it. We could have been teaching kids the Bible. But no, we thought passing a football, a baseball, basketball was more important. The number of kids that get selected to go pro is so minuscule. We forgot to teach them skills. Oh, my kid, he's the next this. He's the next greatest of all time. Every parent thinks that. We all do. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. You better believe that your kid's the best. It doesn't matter if they haven't hit the ball in four seasons. But we forgot things that are important. We took shop class out of schools. If it weren't for shop class, I can promise you right now, I would still be in school. Actually, I would have dropped out. Does it matter about periods and commas anymore? Proper capitalization, proper spelling of words? Look at texting. Look at the memes. To me, it does. I'm like, oh yeah, the proper placement of a comma means a whole lot. It changes a sentence completely. But we've gotten away from what really matters. And the church has decided to use its words to tear people down. Let me carry on. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Blah, blah, blah. One of the greatest attributes of the beast is its mouth. It's a loud mouth. It's prideful. It speaks blasphemous words. And sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Whoops. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the image of God. We tear people down because they look different. And yet God created it. I got news here. Jesus is not a white man. Neither is he African. He was a Mediterranean Jew. Olive skin, perhaps darker skin. Adam, the word Adam really wasn't his name. It means red. He had a reddish tint to his skin. But yet, we have no problem tearing people down based because they look different. You ever, in every war, we've had words to call somebody else. We don't call them what they are. We change what they are. The Civil War, you had Johnny Reb for the South. And the South called the North. Does anybody know? Bluebellies or Billy Yanks? We had Krauts, Nips, Gooks, which as I understand actually just means countrymen. It's not even a derogative word. But yet the way we used it was, we dehumanized, if that's a word, people so we could justify killing them. We're called dogs by terrorists, and we've got a few other colorful names for them. You see what I'm saying? We're using our words, and our words are taking humanity out of the picture. We think it's hilarious to tell a joke about a Polish family. We call them Polaks. Well, there's one hillbilly. You might want to watch that hillbilly joke. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it takes a strong people to survive in those hills. The weaklings moved on. And I admit, we moved north. But you need to understand how hard that life really is and the fact that they're still alive. And yet when they stand up and they fight for themselves, well, they're just dumb hillbillies. You know, Morrow County wasn't exactly thought of as real great at one time in life. And that wasn't that many years ago. Oh, you're from Morrow County. Morrow, I don't care how you say it. The guy we named it after is dead, so call it what you want. But we like to make fun of people. We call them something else so that we can justify our self-righteousness, make ourselves feel better with our words. Jesus said we can't bless God in one breath, out the same tongue, and then turn around and tear down our brother with the other. We have so many nationalities in here. The United States is a unique place. It truly is a melting pot. Where else would a Scottish, Irish boy marry a English, German, Swiss, Scandinavian girl? Where else? Definitely not in Scotland or Ireland. We tear each other down. You know about them Baptists. That's your brother. You know them charismatics, they're all crazy. You know, I'd rather be free. That's all I can say about that. I would rather be free. But we like to give people a name and then tear it down. Why do you think the body of Christ is fractured the way it is? When we get to where we no longer agree whether Jesus Christ is Lord, there's the cutoff point. I don't care if you believe in tongues or not. I really don't. And I know people that will not go to that church if you do not, but yet they feel called there. Don't really care. I don't care if you believe God wants you healed, delivered. I don't care if you believe it. You're the one in chains, not me. But we will be justified by our words, and we will be condemned by those same words. So we need to make sure that our words are impactful. Well, you know, brother, I need to correct you. Just pump the brakes. I have had so many people do that. Again, I've had them do it in the line going out the door. I don't agree with you. Good. I serve for your right to disagree with me. But until you come with scripture, I said scripture,
Not your opinion. I don't want to hear it. You pull it out of the Word of God and not twist it. Then I'll reconsider my stand.
I don't think you should have stood on the chairs.
We'll talk about religious spirits soon, too. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. We shouldn't do this. You can't curse the President of the United States and say, God bless America. Where is your empathy for mankind? He's delusional, I know. Where's his puppet masters? The people that are using him. Everybody, including Democrats, know the man is sick. Why is it we jump on the first train and starts tearing people down? If we want to get anywhere in this country, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to build the country up.
Well, you know, brother, you got to tear it down before you get, you need to secure the foundation first.
And the foundation of this country is not solid anymore. We turned our hearts against God. We turned away from good values.
Well, yeah, brother, you know, I can't get behind the whole, this whole homosexual thing.
Well, you know what? It's always been here. Obviously, because God addressed it in, I believe it's Deuteronomy. He addressed it kind of rough, kind of harsh. But he told us something a little different. We don't need to kill people. If it weren't for a homosexual Prussian general, we would still be a British colony. George Washington would have been hung as a traitor instead of revered as a great, mighty man of war, and he was not. That's why we got lost. He was a good businessman, not a good military man. He had no clue what he was doing. But yet that Prussian general did. And he said, first off, tell your boys quit peeing outside their tents. Do you realize that? That was the first, one of the first. Get a latrine. Go away from your tent. Don't step outside your door and pee. You're attracting bugs and disease. That was the stuff he had to deal with. Napoleon had to figure out how to keep his men from wiping their noses on their uniforms. You know what he did? That's why there are useless buttons on every military uniform. So you can't and get boogers and snot all up your arm. Let's carry on. I have digressed. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? No, it doesn't. It's either good or it's bad. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapefruit or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. We are supposed to bring good fruit. So what that means is we need to control our mouths. We can have opinions. Most of the time, we just need to keep them to ourselves. That's just all there is to it. And any time I've ever taught my opinion up here, I have told you it's my opinion. Really, you want to know the real truth why I drive Chevys? Typically, they were cheaper to fix. I got a Ford, found out the parts were a little more expensive on that Ford. But they all break. Every truck breaks. Every car is going to break down. You may get a few more miles between the breakdowns, but they're all going to break down. It's just how much money you want to spend on the repairs. So none of that stuff matters. It doesn't matter if we have benches or these seats.
If you really want to get religious and you want to sit on a hard pew, I will put three in the back just for you. And if you don't fill them, you're moving them because they're heavy and they're obnoxious. And when you walk into them, they do not move. You will take care of them. You will polish them. You will sit in them. I know these aren't the most comfortable seats. Partially so I will keep my mouth shut, shorter. But understand, we are responsible for those words. You, if you're having a bad day, you know what I recommend you do? Go find some place to take a walk. And literally, physically, breathe. It's amazing what can happen if you get oxygen to your brain housing group. You can think clearer. I don't know, if you're like me, I have a tendency when I'm stressed a little bit to stop breathing. Hold it. Our words are great tools. Two things, to bind and to loose. They bring freedom or they'll bring imprisonment to somebody. All right, let's stand. If you felt like I kicked you on the shins, take it for what it is. But know this, God beat the daylights out of mine first. Because I've got opinions just like you. That's all there is to it. Some of them I may never be able to change. But that's okay. Because they aren't essential to life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. Lord, that you provide mercy. Father, even when we may have said something that was an arrow that pierced somebody else's heart, Father, you've been able to soften the blow. You've been able to heal the wound, not saying that they won't ever remember it, not saying that they don't bear the scar or that we don't, but that you can get us through that. So, Father, I pray right now for all of us that for the scars, for the wounds even the wounds that are not healed yet, Lord, I pray that you heal them. Father, and I know personally the first step is forgiveness. We have got to forgive those. And, Father, and then for those who may have said things, we have to learn to forgive ourselves. Help us. Lord, as we seek that forgiveness, we seek restoration, not only for us, but for those we may have harmed. Lord, I thank you for your word, that it moves. It changes us. It's not just sitting there idly, that if we will listen and we will put it to use, it becomes rhema and it will change our lives. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, those at home, again, Father, we thank you right now for your healing power. And, Father, I pray right now that you work on all of us to help us with our words. But bless these people now, Father. Bless them as they go forth in your calling in their lives, Lord, that you give more and more revelation to them about their life. In Jesus' name, amen.